Okay, Philippians. If you got your Bibles, it's about halfway through the New Testament. Philippians, it's General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's how I remember it all the time. So Philippians chapter 1. We are doing a series called Joyful, and it seemed odd to start this series like, today's just one of those days where you're like, what, God, do you want us to say, right, to the church? How do we communicate hope and all that? And I'm not thankful for what our country's going through, but I am thankful that on the day that we're starting a series about joy, a lot of us don't know that we feel joyful. Is that a fair statement? And here's why I'm thankful for that. Because it's the perfect way to remember what joy is. Joy is not tied to your circumstance. Joy is not we feel it, we say we feel, but joy is something like down deep in your soul that you can have even when your circumstances don't appear good. And that's definitely where we are right now. Even what I feel like the Lord was speaking of our church, that's why the church can rise in times like this, because we have joy, right? We have something to offer people. People will watch how you and I respond in this moment, and they will say things like, I don't get it. Why aren't you, like, panicking? Why aren't you freaking out? Why aren't you ripping people up and down a new one on social media? And it's because I have something, I have joy. I feel all of the stuff, but I also feel deeply settled. Does that make sense? Okay, so this morning we're going to talk about gratitude. We're going to be in the first 11 verses of Philippians. And before I can start talking about gratitude, I need you to talk about gratitude. Okay? Any of you keep a gratitude journal? Raise your hand. Anybody do that? Okay. Anybody practice gratitude from time to time? Like you say, I'm thankful for this. Here's what I need you to do, okay? Listen, no small talk allowed. I need you to take 1 or 2 minutes and just to the person next to you, I need you to tell them right now, it doesn't have to be deep, I need you to tell them 1 or 2 things that you are grateful for. You ready? You ready? Go. If you're watching online and you want to type it in the comments, you can do that as well. Okay, we good? Yes. Yeah. It's good when gratitude takes a long time, right? That's a good thing. How many of you said to the person next to you, you turned to them and said, I'm grateful for you? Anybody say that? Okay. All right. Did they say it back? That's good. That's good. I mean, we don't have time to go into the story, but I'll just tell you briefly that when Wendy and I first started dating, we both had come out of some weird relationships, it's fair to say, right? My heart was smashed in a million pieces, and you were being stalked. So there's that. And it's true. Not by me either, by the way. And so we made an agreement. We made an agreement that we would never say I love you to each other unless we, but that was our code word. If we said I love you, what that meant was, like, I would like to marry you. Does that make sense? Like, we want to go forward in our relationship. And so we said a lot of stuff like, I really like you. But then one weekend I brought her up here, and I was youth pastoring at a neighboring church, and I sat her on the front row. I've told you a story to some of you, and I played her a song that I wrote on the piano, old baby grand piano. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. And she's, after it was over, I looked at her and I said, I love you. And she said, that's nice. So hopefully you didn't turn to somebody and say, I'm so grateful that you're in my life. And they were like, awesome. You know, hopefully it was reciprocated. Gee, help us, Lord. Okay. Okay. So Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read the 11 verses, and then we'll start kind of breaking it down. Paul starts that in verse 1, because that's where you start. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to try not to pause and preach while I go through this, but can I just say, this is how my mind works when I read the Bible. Certain words jump out at me, and I'm just like, God, I would like to always be able to introduce myself like that. Right? Like, not Paul and Wendy, power ministry couple, right? But like Paul and Wendy, servants of Christ Jesus. I pray that that would be true of you as well. To all God's holy people, don't think monks and nuns, think set apart. These are people that have a purpose. He has set them apart. That's what holy means. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, that's the city, which is why it's called Philippians. I hope this is not too like elementary for you, but I want to make sure you get it. Together with the overseers and deacons, I made a note in my notes when I was studying this. I love how Paul highlights serving because he called them out. He could have just said, hey, y'all, but he said, hey, y'all, together with the overseers, the leaders, and the deacons, which were the, like, deacons were people that were serving. And I know we talk about serving all the time, and it's so easy for you to hear that as a, they're desperate. We are desperate for you to fulfill the purpose of God in your life, right? And if it's serving in here, awesome. But maybe it's serving out of here. But y'all, we can't serve, literally serve, the one who came to serve and not be served without becoming servants, right? So I just love that Paul highlights that. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher in a commentary, he said this, that verse is a perfect summary of the gospel. Just grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now listen and see if these next few verses sound like your prayer life. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, this is the key verse in the book, okay? If you just want to, if you're a highlighter, circle these words. Being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Y'all, our God is a finisher. How many of you have books that you have started and did not finish? Yeah. Hey, Will, can we throw up that picture of the dollar bill? And then we'll come back to the verse. So I found this out. So I just was researching unfinished things, like famous unfinished things. And did you know that the dollar bill contains one of the most famous unfinished things? How many of you knew this? Did anybody know this? So I am the expert here. Wow. I've never felt this before. This feels awesome, actually. So the picture of George Washington is an unfinished portrait. Well, can you show them the original portrait? Some of you are like, you're making this up. I'm not. Martha, George's wife, it feels weird to talk about her like Mrs. Washington. She hired an artist to paint a portrait of her husband and of herself. And this is all he ever painted. He never finished it. He never painted her. And he never gave it to them. He took it with him and used it to make copies. He made 100 copies that he sold for $75 each, which back then was a lot of money. So he robbed them of what they wanted. Now it's on our money. Do you rob God? No, I'm kidding. I'm not. That's not the point. I thought it was a great tie-in, but that's not the point. The point is, like, God's a finisher, right? And I love that. So what happened was later when that artist died, they found all of these portraits that he had, like, the portrait he had painted, that one. And somebody said, they took that part that he had done and they flipped it, like mirrored it, and they put it on the dollar bill. That's how it got on the dollar bill. That's crazy. We leave things unfinished all the time, right? Pray for Wendy. Our marriage conversations go like this. Oh, Paul, great one. Oh, great Paul. Speaking in faith. She's speaking in faith, right? She's like, When, O lover of my soul, will we finish that thing that we started? I'm the worst, y'all. I mean, I'm probably in school to learn how to finish books, right? We are not the best people at finishing. We start a lot of things, don't we? I've gotten to the place now where, like, if you come to me and say, I've got a great idea for a ministry, I will say to you, awesome, but are you going to finish it? because I don't need any more starters. We got plenty of those. I need finishers. Well, listen, we serve a God who's a finisher. He will finish not just the work, the good work that he began in you. Tell the person next to you, he's doing something good in me. Did they look at you like, what? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure he's doing something good in me and he's going to finish it. Verse 7, Paul continues, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. How is he feeling? Do you remember? He felt joy. Remember he said, every time I pray for you, I feel joy. It's right for me to feel this way about you, all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or I'm defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul's in prison writing this. What would a letter from you in prison sound like? I know what it would sound like if I wrote a letter from prison. Get me out of here, right? But Paul, and we'll see this in just a minute, Paul already understands what God can do in prison. Hold on to that for a second. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Raise your hand if you need more discernment right now in this cultural moment. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here's kind of your big idea. When we're confident that God will finish what he started, we can live full of gratitude no matter what's happening around us. When we're confident that God will finish what he started, we can live full of gratitude no matter what's happening around you. Because if he says he's got a work in me and he's going to complete it, then if I feel like I'm stuck halfway through, I can start to feel this anxiety and angst and, oh, God, what's happening? But if I trust him that he will finish it, I can have gratitude even when I'm unfinished. So we're looking, and I'm referencing culture a lot just because let's just talk about the elephant in the room, right? There's a lot going on. Well, what I feel like happened last time was the church in America panicked just like culture did. Chose sides just like culture did. And we're not like them. We're not better than anybody. But we've come to understand a God who brings people together despite differences of opinion. You just get on our website and go back and watch old sermons. My favorite sermon series that we preached here was the Party of 12 series. Which ironically we preached before the world fell apart the first time. And I don't know that y'all listened, so I might need to preach again. We talked about how Jesus chose 12 individuals to follow him who would like to have killed each other. Like Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector, enemies. But they both followed Jesus together. Why? Because they trusted Jesus. And they're like, I don't see anything good in this guy, but you do. So let's see what happens. And I think that's what he's going to do this time. Like God's bringing a church that says, I believe in Jesus in you. I believe that he can finish in you the good work he started in you. And then Seth is looking at me going, and I believe pretty much that he can finish in you, Paul. Right? Like we can have confidence, not just that he's finishing the work in me, but also in each other. And so if we have a conversation like we come down on different sides of an issue, we can say, oh, can we put a pin in that? Because I'm not sure how you got to that conclusion, but I know that you love Jesus. And I know that he said he will finish in you the good work he started. The good work he started. That's what we're going to learn in Philippians. And when we have that kind of confidence, y'all, we can experience joy anytime, anywhere. Because our joy is based in God and in Jesus and in what he's doing in us. So gratitude allows us to do three things. This is the whole message. It allows us to do three things. Here's the first one. Gratitude allows us to see God. It allows us to see God. When we read the first five verses, I want you to see what Paul was saying. He said, I see who you are matters. He says, I see you not just as people, but as God's holy people. How would church change for you if when you came in here to worship, you came in knowing that you are with God's holy people? Right? Like, look around the room, y'all. You're beautiful. God sees you and he smiles. He's like, this is my people. They got together on a Sunday after Tennessee lost to Georgia again. And they are worshiping me. And today it was a sacrifice of praise because why can't you make a field goal? Anyway, let's move on. It's still very raw for me. He's like, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so glad that my kids got together. This is awesome. He sees us. Paul says, you are God's holy people. He saw God's work in the Philippians. By the way, Paul didn't want to go to Philippi. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, that's the story of how this church got planted. And the reason that this church got planted is because God told Paul that he couldn't go to all the other places he wanted to go to. Which should make us feel good here in little Albemarle, right? The place that apparently nobody wants to be. Is that too?
No, I don't.
Wow, you laughed at us as if you don't live in Albemarle. Hmm. Should we have a conversation? She lives in Locust. Yeah. Hmm. Wow. I'm kidding. Sorry. Hey, you heckled me. I heckle back. That's what happens here, right? It's all for the glory of God, people. Are y'all good? Are you okay? Some of y'all are like, I'm going to find a different church right now. Including you. You're like, I'm out of here. Sorry. That just happened. I don't know. Pray for me. So if you go back to Acts chapter 16, you don't have to go back there. I'll just give you the recap here. Paul wanted to go to all kinds of places. And everywhere he prayed about going, the Holy Spirit said no. There's a lot we could unpack there. Can we just grow up and recognize that the God that loves us often says no? Right? He's got a much better plan than we do. And so Wendy and I talk about this being like, toes, like in Troas, because what happens is God literally funnels, you'll have to go back and look at that chapter with a map, but he literally funnels Paul to the coast. Now, how many of you that love the beach would agree that God loves to funnel people to the beach? Yes, that's a good thing. Paul, he knows he's got to go preach, and he gets to the beach, and all he can do is, like, he's standing there with his toes in the water at Troas. And he's like, God, what am I supposed to do now? You won't let me go north or south or east or west. Like, this, there's nowhere else to go. And in that place, he has a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, I'm paraphrasing, we're over here, Paul, and we want to hear the gospel that you preach. And Paul goes, oh. So he gets on a boat in Troas, and he goes to Macedonia. And a lot of the books that we read in the New Testament, a lot of the churches that were planted because Paul went to Macedonia. The church at Philippi was one of them. He shows up there, and it says that he went down to the place where he expected to find a church and did not find a church. He found women that were there worshiping, but they didn't know exactly what they were doing. Even in the New Testament, the men were absent. Can we change that at this church? Can men step up and lead? Right? But Paul's like, I don't know if he was like, where are the dudes? He just said, well, you're here. And they planted a church in Philippi because of those women. Now, here's how the church at Philippi was planted. Like, you know, when you're born, you have DNA, right? Okay, I'm going to say that again because I think you need to answer this so you can feel smart. I felt like we stepped back for a second there. You know, like when you're born, you have DNA, right? Okay, good, because you would be dead if you don't have DNA. It's important to recognize that. But you don't get the DNA as you're, like, growing up. You have it, right? It's who you are. Definitely not trying to, like, speak any kind of weird thing, but, like, you are who you are because God made you who you are, right? That's too long to put on a T-shirt, but you get what I'm saying. So the church in Philippi also was born with DNA. And you see the DNA when you go to Acts chapter 16. I'll just tell you a few things that were in their DNA. Spiritual curiosity, because the women that he met at the place of prayer, they were curious. That's why they were there. Man, can we have a hunger for the Lord again? Deliverance was part of the church's DNA. You'll read in Acts chapter 16 about a slave girl who was saying all the right things, but it didn't feel right. And so at some point it says that Paul got fed up and turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And then the owners got mad and it was a riot and all that kind of stuff, which led to another part of their DNA, which is persecution and imprisonment. It's interesting. One of the reasons why Paul could write Philippians from a Roman prison and have so much joy is because he remembered being in prison in Philippi. In Acts chapter 16. It says that Paul and Silas were in prison. They were being persecuted because that slave girl got delivered. The people couldn't make money off of her anymore. The whole city was mad at them. They threw them in jail. And at midnight, instead of being like we would be, wah, 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 they were like singing praise at midnight. So this church was birthed with a DNA of breakthrough praise. I'm not trying to preach a whole bunch of zingers today. That's not my heart. It's the way that my head hears the word. Do we sing praise that has any power to break through? Because they did. About midnight, they started praising. And all the doors opened, and then they didn't leave. People got set free, and they stayed where they were. So there's breakthrough praise in their DNA. There's freedom for captives in their DNA. And I love this. There's family redemption in the DNA of the church at Philippi, because the jailer came to them and said, I'm going to kill myself because if the captives got out, the jailers were put to death. That was just the law. So the jailer was going to go ahead and kill himself so he couldn't be killed. And Paul was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're all put the sword down, step away from the sword. We're all here. And you know that jailer's got to be like, wait, what? So somehow praise changed Paul and Silas. They weren't looking to escape. They were already free. They were free in prison. Man, could our church just get that? Can we just be free in prison? Some of us are like, we're too busy debating whether or not God's plan is for us to be in prison. He's like, my plan is for you to be free anywhere. Just be free. Just brief, be free in prison. Be free out of prison. I'm hoping you'll see some of these themes come back as we go through Philippians, because in Philippians, Paul's going to write these words later in chapter 4. I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. Because he was free. When you're free, you can be content, not happy, but content in all circumstances. Rich, poor, free, prisoned. And so not only were Paul and Silas still there, but like their praise had enough power in it that it convinced the other prisoners to not leave. That's what blows me away about that story in Acts 16. I get Paul and Silas staying because they're like, clearly we're going to get to preach to the jailer. But all these other people stay too. And I kind of wonder if they just like stayed like, I think I should probably run, but I want to see how this ends up. Right? I'm just curious. So when you think about Philippians, that church, this was their DNA. Spiritual curiosity, deliverance, persecution was part of it. So whenever they got persecuted, they didn't call prayer meetings and think we missed some important thing in the Bible. If we could learn that truth, we would never be persecuted. They were like the disciples. They walked away rejoicing that God counted them worthy to be persecuted for the gospel. They had breakthrough praise. There's power in praise. They had freedom for captives, and there was family redemption. All that because God finishes what he starts, y'all. Because, like, there's a benefit for us serving Jesus. He said, like, you're God's people. We can see God. Gratitude helps us to see God. Like, God, I see you're doing a work in these people. They're not just people. They're holy people. And I'm not just in Philippi. I'm in Philippi because you love the Philippians. He takes us to places to get us to people because he loves people. Which, again, I say this humbly because I have a job that I love. I mean, y'all can be a bit much. But so can I, right? So, like, I heard this, somebody talking about, like, Philippians. They said if Philippians had a theme song, it would be High School Musical. We're all in this together, right? Should we sing it? We're all in this together. That's all I know. So, and there's apparently there's motions as well that Wes knows, and maybe we'll do that someday for, I don't know, but I'm praying against it, but it might still happen. We're all in this together. We see what God's doing in each other, right? Like, we see that. We love that. We want to remember, like, what the benefit of following Jesus. A couple verses for you to jot down. Psalm 103, verse 2. The psalmist says, forget not all his benefits. Y'all, there is blessing in following Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I want to just encourage you, man, be grateful. Let gratitude show you God. And the people that are the most grateful tend to see God in every circumstance, right? Like, God, this stinks, what I'm going through right now, but somehow I can't wait to see the good you bring out of it, right? As opposed to, this stinks and God's not here. And if you feel that way, it's okay. He understands that. God doesn't run away because you think he's, like, doesn't care about you. He just hangs out with you until suddenly you go, oh, you've been here all along. Okay, number two. That first one was long. The other ones won't be that long. I'm sorry. Gratitude trusts God. So gratitude sees God, but it also trusts him. We've already read verse 6, you know, knowing that he's going to finish in us the work that he started. He is a finisher. But I also want you to see this. That shared struggle can strengthen joy. So just a little brain nerd here for a second. Y'all know I'm in school for this, right? So what that means is I'm talking about it now as if I know it, but I don't, because I'm learning, right? Maybe over the next 3 years we'll grow in more confidence in it, but these are facts about our brains, right? Like, when we go through something together, when we have a shared struggle, like, you shared with people what you're grateful for, and probably when you said, I'm grateful for whatever, I'm guessing they probably smiled. And the reason they smiled is not really, you thought it's because they love Jesus and they really love you. Actually, the reason they smiled is because you were smiling. And so we were created with these things called mirror neurons, which is why when you look at a baby, like when I look at Birdie and I'm like, Birdie, what's up? And she goes, we just mirror what we see, right? And so when you share gratitude with somebody, they start to feel that same gratitude. It works the other way as well. When you share pain, they feel that pain with you. Wendy could talk way more about this, but there's a bond that takes place as we share our stories with each other. And we're like, oh, my heart is drawn to you. As I hear you talk that story, it's like, oh, I feel that. And that's what happens here. Paul is like, he's like, I'm so thankful for you because of your partnership with me. Whether I'm in chains or whether I'm out free talking about Jesus, I know that you're with me. Paul's in a Roman prison, and he's writing to the Philippians. And the way that this letter got to the Philippians was through a man named Epaphroditus. There's a name we don't use anymore. Please, young parents, bring it back. Because Paul wrote this letter, gave it to Epaphroditus, and said, please take this to my friends in Philippi, thanking them for the offering that they had received and sent to Paul in prison. Now, we can Apple Pay instantly, right? WhatsApp. Back then, not so much, right? They had to, like, collect it. They had to take it. They had to guard it. You will not have our money, right? And they had to get it to the place, give it to Paul. He had to, like, wow, this is awesome. Write the letter, however, write it on parchment, roll it up, get back, sail back. Please make it to Epaphroditus. And then he gave them the letter that he wrote to the Philippians that we have in our Bible. Because they loved him. Because they were like, we're with you, Paul. Gratitude, it trusts God, you're going to finish the work in me, but you're going to do it with other people who are also with me. Does that make sense? You can have joy in the middle of that story when you trust the author of it. A couple things to jot down some verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Romans 8, 28, we all know this. It's on coffee mugs everywhere. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. I know that you guys love books. You love movies. And none of them make any sense halfway through. You got to watch to the end of the movie, right? Oh, that person didn't really die, right? You can't cut out on a movie halfway through. You're going to have like this hanging, like, what happened? Our lives are the same way, right? Don't check out halfway through. Let God continue to do the work. Here's what neuroscience proves. Gratitude shifts brain activity toward the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is not fully developed until you're 27, which is why the people that you love so much make such horrible decisions. They just need to grow a little bit more, right? The tragedy is people that have fully developed prefrontal cortexes are still making really ridiculous decisions. There is no excuse for us, right? At least all of you under 27 can be like, hey, my brain's still growing. You're like, what about y'all, right? But when we have gratitude, what they can actually tell through brain scans, I love this, is fascinating, is that activity shifts to the prefrontal cortex, and that is the planning and hope center of the brain. Which means this, literally, when you see with gratitude, your brain starts to see a better future. You have hope, and you have a plan how to get there. And all of that comes from gratitude. So gratitude helps us see God. It helps us trust God. You're not finished. You're still working. Here's the last one. Gratitude prays to God. Paul's not passive with his gratitude. He starts to pray, right? And here's what he prayed. He prayed that they would have more insight, that they would have more discernment, and they would have more fruit because that would bring God more glory. Sometimes we think gratitude is just looking backwards. I'm so thankful, God, for all that you've done. But a heart of gratitude looks back and says, thank you for that. But it also looks forward with hope and says, God, do more. Let's do it again. Gratitude does that. It's not selfish to ask God for more. And as I was reading these verses, I was like, man, right now, do we need more wisdom and insight? Am I the only one? Boy, do we need more discernment, y'all? Like, what is true? What is excellent? What is pure? We need wisdom and discernment, and I want more fruit in my life. Some takeaways. Because God finishes what he starts, you can thank him for what he's done, you can trust him for what he's doing, and we can pray about what he's going to do. So, man, name the things that you're grateful for, right? Start doing that in the situations that cause you stress. Like when you were late renewing your license plate tag. Not that that would ever happen to me. I'm just talking hypothetically. And you're standing in that really long line. And the temptation is like, I'm such an idiot. Why did I wait so long? They actually have an online thing. Maybe I'm grateful that I have 2 feet that are, I can stand on, 2 legs that hold me up. I'm thankful that next time I won't do this again. Gratitude, it shifts it. Name it. Find things that you're thankful for. Say it to them out loud. Maybe share it with a friend. Don't just keep all that gratitude locked up in your head, right? Tell somebody. Watch their face light up with you. And then trust him. Here's the bottom line. Joyful gratitude allows us to see God, trust God, and pray to God in every circumstance. And I would say this, every circumstance that you and I go through would drastically change if we saw him, trusted him, and prayed to him in it, right? Now, here's how we're going to end today. I'm going to read the next few verses after the ones I just preached. Pastor Bridget's preaching next week. And when she watches this and hears that I said that, she's going to feel like, because she's really asking God, like, what do I say? So just pray for it right now. Wendy read this to me last night. We were reading this in the car. And she was like, oh, I want to read Philippians 1 through 11 in the Message. And so she did, but she kept going. And so next week, these are the first three verses that Pastor Bridges is going to preach about. And I just thought, I want to leave you encouraged about what's going on in our nation right now, and more specifically about what's going on in the church. And here's what Paul writes in the Message, verses 11 through 13. I'm sorry, 12 through 14. He says, I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. I'm trying not to be political. Actually, I'm not trying. I'm literally not being political. I've said this a few times this week. If the only way you see the world is politically, I can't stop you from hearing what I say as political. But it's not. It's spiritual, right? What just happened in our country had an intended impact, and it's having the opposite effect. Because people are rising up saying, that's not what we do when people speak opinions and truth. We don't kill people. Our country has gone too far, and they're not even saying they believe in Jesus. They're just like, that ain't it, right? So there's a revival of truth and sound mind is going to take place on the tail end of what just happened in our country. And when Wendy read this, I kept thinking, like, this is what's happening. I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here and everyone else, too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. That piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus here have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever and speak out fearlessly about God, about the Messiah. I don't know if you know this about Philippi, but Philippi was actually known as the city where Roman soldiers would retire to. So they would serve Rome, and then they would retire and kick their feet up in Philippi. And God sent Paul to Philippi through a dream to launch a church where he could share, like, with those people. He was in prison there, shares with Roman soldiers, with Philippi soldiers there, and then he's in Rome later, and he's in prison in Rome writing to the Philippians. And everywhere Paul goes, he gets put in jail, and everywhere he goes, he talks to the jailers. He's bold about his faith, no matter what's going on around him. And my prayer is that as we grow in gratitude as a church through this series, that we would also grow in boldness, right? Not boldness like a preacher who just yells loud because he or she's trying to get their point across, but a boldness in, God, I don't have it all figured out, but you finish what you start. And you will finish in me what you started in me. I want to pray that over you this morning. Prayer team, would you be willing to come to the front as well? Because I'm going to have us all stand and I'm going to pray. And then if you would like prayer this morning after I say amen, would you just come and find a person on the prayer team? We'd love to pray with you. And you probably need prayer today. So do I. Because these are the kind of messages that make us go, yes, 100%. God, you're working all things for my good. You're going to finish it all. That's everything you started. But then we step back and go, but wait. What I'm in right now seems impossible. How can you take this and make something good out of it? And that's a great time to come find a prayer partner and just say, like, hey, Paul said, hey, we're partnered together in the gospel to the Philippian church. We want to be partnered together with you as you're following Jesus as well. All right, so God, thank you. I mean, we say to you with a grateful heart, thank you, that your work in us, even when it seems like it hits like a snag or we get stuck or it's like you just press the pause button on the remote, we're not quite sure why we're still in this place. We know this, that you are finishing in us what you started. I think about that dollar bill. It's crazy. Like, it's that picture is seen all the time and it's not even finished. How much more will you bring glory to yourself through the finished work that you're doing in each one of us? And so we just offer ourselves to you. We see you in our circumstance. And that fills us with gratitude because you've not forgotten us. And so we trust you as well to finish what you've started. And God, we pray to you, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and our sisters who are also going through situations and circumstances that the world would want to destroy us with, but you have actually called us to have joy in. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.